The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Tuesday, November 23rd, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're coming to you live and direct from Rolla J Studios here in beautiful Potland, Oregon, where we are experiencing the coldest November day in 25 years. I'm telling you, all the newscasters are going crazy, saying it's the most dangerous commute you've seen in decades. Meanwhile, to a kid from Idaho like me, I'm just laughing because it's like a half inch of snow or something like that. Normally at this time of the show, I'd be introducing you to my good friend and our engineer, Ganja John, but unfortunately he is not here today. He's doing something very important, I understand. Wait a minute. You're playing video games? Damn it, John! No, John couldn't make it in today. He's feeling a little bit sick, so he's not in today. So at this point, I would then turn things over to our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon. But Cannabis Carrie isn't here either. She has got some emergency to deal with. I don't think it's an emergency involving any screaming in any way. I'm sure she's just fine, but we'll speak with Cannabis Carrie tomorrow. On today's show, also, it's Tuesday, where we would normally get to the California Marijuana Report, but guess what? I hit the trifecta. That's right. Eric Brenner can't be with us today either. I'm having a heck of a day here, but the show must go on. So on today's Normal Show Live, we're going to get to our hemp headlines. I've got a whole bunch of information, not just from California and New Mexico, but also stories from around the world, including France and Finland. Then in our Daily Toker Tunes, we get you your music for Electric Tuesday. We're going to give you a double shot. I found some great house music up on the IOTA PromoNet. Plus, folks in the chat room have turned me on to a new Symphony of Science song. So we'll bring those both to you in our Daily Toker Tunes. At half past the hour, I'm going to replay our California Marijuana Report interview with Jody Emery. Her husband, Mark Emery, the pot POW, the Prince of Pot, is being transferred to a prison in Georgia, and she had plenty to say about that, so we'll replay that interview. And at the end of the show, we will give you some footage from demonstrations in Finland for marijuana legalization. All that and more coming up today on Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Check out our blog at stash.normal.org, where you can also find replays and downloads of every one of our shows, plus most of the tunes we play in Daily Toker Tunes. Follow me on Twitter at Radical Russ. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind. Liberate your mind. Liberate.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Cannabis Carry can't be here for the news today. I'm Radical Russ Belville. Los Angeles and Orange counties considering dispensary bans. This is from KTLA News. The Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors on Tuesday will consider a proposal to ban medical marijuana dispensaries in the unincorporated areas of the county, which would cover territory with a population of 1.5 million people. The motion is the first step toward reversing the county's four-year-old policy on the dispensaries, which are allowed with strict prohibitions on their location. They cannot be within 1,000 feet of churches, daycare centers, libraries, playgrounds, schools, and other sensitive uses. Some supervisors have expressed concern that the dispensaries could attract crime. Another factor weighing on them is the city of Los Angeles' recent aggressive push to shut down dispensaries that are illegal under a city ordinance that took effect 4 weeks ago, raising concern that dispensary owners would be searching for a new home. The Orange County Board of Supervisors is also considering a similar ban at its meeting today. And these are referring to today, November 23rd. So if you're in Orange County or Los Angeles County, and you don't think that's right, make your way to their meetings and make your voices heard. It's really important here. You know, it just seems like Los Angeles City is going to shut down their dispensaries, and now Los Angeles County doesn't want the people running from Los Angeles City setting up dispensaries out there in the outlying county areas. So how's that no on Prop 19 working out for you, stoners against legalization? You helped strike down an initiative that would have recognized a right to sell marijuana and would have prevented state and local agencies from interfering with lawfully cultivated cannabis. Now, sure, Los Angeles and Orange County weren't likely to open up any Prop 19 recreational stores anytime soon, but the language in Prop 19 would have at least given existing medical use stores some better ammunition in court to help defend themselves. So it looks like you may have to drive to Oakland to get your marijuana anyway. New Mexico patient loses rent subsidy for medical marijuana use. Albuquerque, New Mexico, from the Associated Press. A hearing officer on Wednesday will take up the case of a 70-year-old cancer patient who is appealing San Miguel County's decision to revoke his federal housing subsidy because he uses medical marijuana. Robert Jones joined New Mexico's medical marijuana program in October 2008 when he was diagnosed with cancer. The retired political consultant said he was upfront about it, telling county housing authority officials he used marijuana before signing a statement agreeing to follow a rule not to participate in drug-related criminal activity. But the housing authority sent him a letter October 12th telling him he would be dropped from the housing program as of November 30th. Although medical marijuana is legal in New Mexico, it's illegal under federal law, and his use violated the rule against drug-related criminal activity, the letter said. Jones falls under the U.S. Housing and Urban Development's Housing Voucher Program, known as Section 8, administered locally by San Miguel County's Section 8 Housing Authority. The program, which Jones joined in March 2009, pays $156 of his $400 a month rent, he said. This is just another example of why medical marijuana laws are just not good enough. This is another case where we see a medical marijuana patient being treated as a second-class citizen, a 70-year-old cancer patient. Gonna kick him out on the streets, because that's what we need, is more homeless, elderly cancer patients. This is not the first time I've heard of Section 8 patients losing their housing over medical marijuana. In my time working here with Oregon Normal, I spoke with many patients, and one of the questions they would always ask me is, do I need to tell my landlord about my medical marijuana use or my cultivation? And every time I had to say to them, lie, keep quiet, or choose between your housing and your medicine. Indoor grow house goes up in flames in Los Angeles. This from the San Jose Mercury News. A 1,700-plant marijuana grow house in Southern California erupted in flames when a living room compost pile ignited. Los Angeles County Sheriff's investigators say the fire broke out at 11 a.m. Monday in a one-story home in the unincorporated North San Gabriel area. Detective David Mertens told the Pasadena Star News that a man was seen running from the home, but there are no arrests. Mertens says gangs rent out homes to raise pot, and investigators find a couple of similar marijuana grow houses each month. Yeah, you know what you never hear of gangs doing? They never rent houses to set up elaborate beer-making facilities. You never hear of a gang building an extensive indoor tobacco-growing operation, do you? Look, nobody wants unregulated industrial cannabis factories in their residential neighborhoods. Not even me. Legalize marijuana so we can regulate, inspect, and set zoning standards for cannabis production. The demand is not going away, and all we're doing is obscenely incentivizing the growers to take any risk necessary to supply that demand, including some not-so-bright growers who leave compost piles in the middle of the home. In a legal system, vast marijuana fields can grow in the open air and sunshine, which does the dual eco-friendly trick of ending the power that we waste to recreate the sun indoors, and provides a massive carbon sink for greenhouse gases. Now, sure, some growers, and those aiming for higher potency specifically, will still grow indoors, but they can be licensed and inspected to guarantee safe practices. The mid-grade outdoor marijuana will be good enough for most people and cheap enough to virtually eliminate the criminal element from its production and distribution. Or we can keep doing what we're doing now, funding gangs and watching the occasional rental go up in flames. This story speaks to my heart, being named Belleville and of French ancestry. Frenchman grows 12 pot plants for ducks and gets a fine. This is from the BBC. A French farmer has been given a one-month suspended jail sentence and fined 500 euros for feeding his ducks marijuana to rid them of worms. Police arrested Michael Royer after they discovered 12 cannabis plants and about 5 kilograms, or 11 pounds, of cannabis during a visit to his home after a theft. Mr. Royer says there was, quote, no better worming substance, end quote, for ducks, and that his flock was in excellent health. A police spokesman said it was the first time they had heard such a claim. Mr. Royer, who lives in the village of Gripierre-Saint-Symphorien in France's Atlantic coast, did also admit to smoking some of the marijuana. Well, I'm with the police spokesman on this one. This is the first time I've ever heard of anything like this, too, though it does make some sense. I mean, hemp seed oil is amazingly nutritious. I can't see how it would be bad for ducks. We know that if you take a bunch of mixed seeds, including hemp seed, you put it in front of birds, they will pick out the hemp seeds. They know what's nutritious and good for them. So it's no surprise that it's good for the duck's nutrition, that it helps the duck's health. I don't know about it being a worming substance, though. That's kind of interesting that it could be used for worming. But hey, if he says it works, it's great. But the aspect I wanted to take a look at with this story is, suppose you were growing a dozen marijuana plants in, let's say Texas. You know, Texas is about 20% larger than France. And suppose you're in Texas and you had 11 pounds of processed cannabis and that you admit to smoking it. Do you suppose you're going to call the Texas Rangers following a theft at your home? And when they do arrive, you suppose you're going to tell the Texas Rangers the pot farm is mostly for your ducks? How do you think that works out? Well, look, you wouldn't be looking at a month suspended jail sentence, that's for sure, and a $670 fine, which is about what 500 euros works out to today, that's for sure. The 11 pounds alone in the state of Texas is a third-degree felony with 2 to 10 years possible prison time and a $10,000 fine. And that's just the pot, because you've also got the marijuana garden, which is probably worth some more charges like intent to deliver or continuing criminal enterprise or conspiracy or something else that they would tack on to that to give you even more years in prison, a Texas prison at that, and an even larger fine. So while America, the land of the free, will lock you up for a decade for a dozen plants, in France you get a suspended sentence and a minimal fine. So let's just remember this the next time you hear some American engaging in some French bashing. New study says smoking pot before age 16 harms brain's executive functioning. This comes from the New York Times. Young adults who started using cannabis regularly in their early teens performed significantly worse on tests assessing brain function than did subjects who were at least 16 when they started, scientists reported last week. The findings led researchers at McLean Hospital to surmise that the developing teenage brain may be particularly vulnerable to the ill effects of marijuana. The study, done in conjunction with brain scans, was small, consisting of 35 chronic marijuana smokers who were 22 years old on average. The subjects were asked to complete an assessment of executive function, the brain processes responsible for planning and abstract thinking, as well as understanding rules and inhibiting inappropriate actions. The test, in which participants were asked to sort cards with different shapes, numbers, and colors, is a measure of cognitive flexibility. Now, this study came out last week. We spoke briefly with Dr. Mitch Earlywine about it, and we'll bring it up again in tomorrow's show. But it does seem to underscore something that we've been saying at Normal all along. Marijuana use is not for kids. It's incumbent upon us as reformers to emphasize this, to preach responsible use, and that means adults only. We must also illustrate that it is the prohibition of cannabis that most endangers their children. It's kind of ironic when the parents see these kind of scare stories about marijuana use among the youth, and that leads them to want to continue to support prohibition. But when the actual facts are looked at, we find it's the prohibition that creates the access that allows the teens to get the marijuana in the first place. We've seen study after study showing that up to 80-85% of high school seniors say marijuana is easy or fairly easy to get. 69% of 10th graders, over 38% of 8th graders say marijuana is easy or fairly easy to get. We see them, a fourth of them, able to access marijuana within an hour. It is easier for a teenager in America to get a hold of high quality marijuana than it is for a scientist or a doctor or a patient in this country, and that's because of prohibition. Even under legalization, though, the problems with prohibition, is also that it makes it profitable for these kids to deal weed in school to each other. Right? We take that away, and we take away the incentive to be dealers in school. Also, we get people's IDs checked for purchases, and we take away that rebellious quality that adolescent boys find irresistible. Even under legalization, some adolescents are going to use marijuana, but at least we can take away that economic incentive, and at least we can take the market away from criminals who don't ID. Our efforts to educate kids about cannabis also will be taken more seriously if we're just honest about responsible adult use. As it is now, kids are told marijuana is a gateway to heroin, and the people that use it are addicts and slackers, will never admit to anything. And then they see the Olympics and the World Series, and they see Michael Phelps and Tim Lincecum, and they see Snoop Dogg and Ice Cube, and they see all these people who smoke marijuana and seem to have perfectly fine careers. So why should they believe that latest New York Times headline when they hear so many reefer madness lies that are disproved with their own eyes? Let's legalize marijuana so we can be honest with our kids. Final story real quick. What's pot got to do with it? Toddler's fall blamed on marijuana smoking mom. From NBC Connecticut, a Hartford toddler is recovering in a hospital after falling out of a third-story window on Broad Street while his mother smoked marijuana on Saturday evening, police said. The two-year-old was playing near an open window in his kitchen around 5 p.m. on Saturday while his mother was smoking marijuana at the kitchen table, Hartford police said. Neighbors said they visited the child at the hospital and he is going to be okay. Nobody's perfect, one of the neighbors said. Things do happen. I never heard her mistreat her kids or anything. As far as I'm concerned, she's a good mom. This story is just another indicator of how the media portrays marijuana in this demonization in their headlines. The headlines for this story was, "Boy falls from third floor window as mom smokes marijuana," right? But this is really just an accident that could have happened to any parent who isn't paying close attention to a toddler. The smoking of the marijuana has nothing to do with it. Toddlers escape the attention of parents. Sometimes they have accidents. The mom could have just as easily been distracted by watching TV, text messaging, talking on the phone, taking a nap, making a sandwich, all sorts of ways that she could have been distracted. But if marijuana is involved, everybody's got to jump on the bandwagon and blame the pot. And this is usually people that have never smoked pot in their life, and they imagine you smoke one puff and you turn into a bleary-eyed, reckless zombie. Look, there's 26 million adults in this country who use cannabis, and some of them are even parents. And ironically, the scare over parents or over kids seeing their parents smoke forces a lot of those parents to smoke away from their kid, which creates the situation where the kid is not under your control and he falls out a window. Lots of news stories today. We miss you, John. Miss you, Carrie. Coming up next, we got our Electric Tuesday for you, a double shot. Stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint case? Sure would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Oh, lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Just lie to don't hide it. Fire up right now.
Sound your computer.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electric music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and experimental. Brought to you by Sara Kant in Boston, Massachusetts, and Sara Kant Photography. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everyone. 22 after the hour, and if you've been a fan of this show for any length of time, you know that we are big fans of science. And one of the greatest bits of science that we play on the show come from a website called symphonyofscience.com. And these are little auto-tuned remixes of famous scientists and astronomers and physicists and mathematicians and their descriptions of the scientific world. They've just come out with a new cut that was posted to the website recently, and I wanted to bring it in here before we got to our official Daily Toker Tune by a group called Blaze. This is the Symphony of Science, with their new song, A Wave of Reason.
When you are studying any matter or considering any philosophy, ask yourself only, what are the facts, and what is the truth that the facts bear out?
Science is more than a body of knowledge. It's a way of thinking, a way of skeptically interrogating the universe.
If we are not able to ask skeptical questions, to be skeptical of those in authority, then we're up for grabs.
Fulfillment that people find in religion can be found in science by coming to know, if you will, the mind of God.
The real world, as it actually is not evil. It's remarkable. And the way to understand the physical world is to use science.
There is a new wave of reason sweeping across America, Britain, Europe, Australia, South America, the Middle East and Africa. There is a new wave of reason where superstition had a firm hold. Teach a man to reason. Think for a lifetime. Think for a lifetime.
Cosmology brings us face to face with the deepest mysteries, with questions that were once treated only in religion and myth.
The desire to be connected with the cosmos reflects a profound reality. We are connected, not in the trivial ways that astrology promises, but in the deepest ways.
I can't believe the special stories
across America, Britain, Europe, Australia, South America, the Middle East and Africa. There is a new wave of reason where superstition had a firm hold.
Teach a man to reason. Think for a lifetime.
Think for a lifetime.
Superstition had a firm hold.
Teach a man to reason.
Think for a lifetime.
Think for a lifetime.
That's Carl Sagan, Richard Feynman, Richard Harris, all sorts of people involved in that. SymphonyofScience.com is where you can find the videos and the downloads for all of these songs. Now we move on to our Electric Tuesday official tune here for our dance house electronica selection. And this is from Blaze. Blaze is comprised of singer-songwriter Josh Milan and producer-engineer-DJ Kevin Hedge. This songwriting production team has been recording dance-oriented music for over 20 years and is considered by many to be the pioneers of the soulful house genre. This is Blaze with Elevation.
daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech?
Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, The A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
California has long been the epicenter of marijuana law reform in the United States. We're joined now by Eric Brenner, the producer of the California Marijuana Report, for an interview with an important figure in cannabis in the Golden State. You can hear the entire California Marijuana Report on KRXA AM 540 in Monterey. Now, here's Eric Brenner.
Hi, this is Cheech Marin, and you listen to Eric Brenner on the California Marijuana Report.
Following a breaking news story here on the California Marijuana Report this week, Mark Emery, the Crown Prince of Pot, has been formally sentenced to 5 years in federal prison. This happened on Friday, September 10th. We are now joined by Mark Emery's wife, Jody Emery. Jody, thanks for joining us this week on the California Marijuana Report.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Jody, let's talk about you before we get into Mark's case. You are very active in the Vancouver political scene. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm involved with provincial and federal politics. I ran with the BC Marijuana Party, which Mark is the leader of, back in 2008 in a by-election. And after that, the BC Green Party, the British Columbia Green Party, our provincial, similar to state party, asked to have Mark and I give our support from the BC Marijuana Party to the Greens in the general election for 2009. And they asked me to be a candidate, and I agreed to run for them. And that was an excellent opportunity for me. I was made the policing and crime critic and the Olympic critic, since we had the Vancouver Olympics then. And it was a wonderful time to experience what running with a real political party is like. It's the third party in BC, and Mark helped me out a lot. He's very experienced in running in campaigns, so his insight and experience was invaluable to me. And after I ran with the provincial Green Party, the Green Party of Canada contacted me and said that they would like me to run as a candidate for them as well when the next federal election happens. Now, that hasn't happened yet, but I'm slated to be a candidate in one of the closest ridings in Vancouver, in Canada, really. However, the person I'm running against, the incumbent with the Liberal Party, he's a very good man, so it's a bit of a sticky situation to be running against someone who only won by 30 votes against a very bad bad party, the conservatives, but I hope to use my election run federally just to bring attention to the issues of ending drug prohibition and restoring civil liberties and saving Canada from the very destructive, dangerous path that we're going down. Our government in Canada is a very bad hangover from the George Bush days. We have a religious right, extremist conservative government. So by getting involved in politics, I hope to wake people up and let them know that the only way to change the world that we live in terms of the laws that rule our lives, is to get involved in the political process. So that's my involvement there with the Green Party.
Now, how are you polling? How does the Green Party in general poll in these elections?
Well, federally, the Green Party is the fifth party in Canada. We have three main parties, the Conservatives, the Liberal Party, and the New Democratic Party, as well as the Bloc Québécois, which is the French party in Canada. Unfortunately, the Green Party gets about the same amount of votes as the Bloc Québécois, but the Green Party gets no seats in our parliament, whereas the Bloc gets about 50 seats. So we have a very unfair form of electoral representation, and so that needs to be changed as well. In terms of the provincial Green Party, it is the third party, so we are a viable option to get elected, but again, it's a system that's set up to shut out any of the non-frontrunner parties. So the numbers aren't that high, but the Green Party does have a lot of supporters. It's just a lot of Canadians and British Columbians are very unenthused and disengaged because it's discouraging to see such an unfair result from elections. But, you know, it's the system we've got, and we've got to work within it. And I hope to someday be the leader of the BC Green Party and perhaps even be Premier of British Columbia and influence politics in a positive way, because if we don't get involved, the people who do get involved are going to make things worse for us, and we have to have our voices heard. So that's my goal. Even if we don't poll very high in numbers, that's something that can happen further down the road. Political parties do change and lose support and gain support, and I think with just the way that the world is heading with the environment and the economy, I think green policies in some ways are a good choice. However, I do have conflicting feelings about it, because Mark and I are both more of a libertarian mindset and political philosophy, so I don't really agree with a lot of the Green Party's ideas of excessive taxation or global government-type policies, but I do believe in the Green Party when they talk about reducing income tax and focusing on saving our environment and our planet, because without that, I mean, we can't survive, and I really hope to bring cannabis hemp into the limelight with the Green Party, because there's nothing as environmentally friendly as building and using hemp to help save the planet. So that's one of the angles I hope to present.
And we are speaking with Jody Emery here on the California Marijuana Report. Her husband, Mark Emery, the Crown Prince of Pot, has just been sentenced to 5 years in federal prison for his role in selling seeds through the mail. Jody, let's talk about how you and Mark came together many years ago and fell in love. Most of the people listening don't know the background on this amazing love story.
Well, I was in high school, and I was actually very much into authority and very much against drugs and marijuana of any kind. So my best friends who started smoking pot, I still hung out with them, but I would kind of give them a hard time and tell them they were going to kill themselves early and that they were going to go crazy. And I was very much a teacher's pet. And when my friends started having conversations, it was around 9/11, and my friends were talking about Afghanistan and all sorts of geopolitical, historical information that I had no idea about. They were talking about the drug wars and all the things that Cannabis Culture Magazine was covering. And at that time, they introduced me to Cannabis Culture Magazine and Pot TV, which are both Mark's creations. And I started realizing that my friends who smoked pot were more critical-minded and seemingly even more intelligent than my fellow students who were against drugs. And so I decided to try cannabis, and I joined the Cannabis Culture Forums. And once I realized I was being lied to about pot, I thought, you know, I'm being lied to about who knows that many other things. So I kind of became, in the teacher's eyes, maybe a bad student because I lost interest in that sort of educational system. But in my eyes, I was opening myself up to a brand new education, which was facilitated through Cannabis Culture Magazine's articles about the drug war and through pot TV shows, and that's how I learned about Mark Emery. So when I joined the Cannabis Culture Forums, I started getting engaged in it and asking questions, and Mark noticed me on there, and we started talking through messages. So it was just innocent like that, because he talks to a lot of people, especially young people who are disenfranchised and discouraged by the adult world, and he was very insightful and helpful to me at all times, just with advice. And then fast forward a couple of years, I moved to Vancouver just to decided to join the movement. I graduated with honors from St. Michael's University School, and I did get accepted into three universities, but I didn't want to sit in a classroom. That just wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to help change the world now instead of waiting until graduating. So I moved to Vancouver, and I just started working in a restaurant and used my spare time to write letters to the editor and hung out at Mark's store. It was the D.C. Marijuana Party bookstore. It's now called Cannabis Culture Headquarters. And by being there, I met all the people that I saw in the magazine and on Pot TV and got an incredible education. And then Mark was sent to prison in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, a different province, for passing a joint. That was in 2004. He passed a joint at a rally, and a judge sentenced him to 3 months in prison, which was pretty shocking. And at that time, I was pretty devastated, because Mark and I had talked a lot, and everyone who knew him was very upset for that to happen. And when he was in prison, he started writing out every night a long kind of a diary entry. And he would call Pop TV every night, or every morning rather, and read aloud his journal entry. And our webmaster at that time said, you know, there's something that's going to be big one day on the internet. It's called a blog. He said, I mean, we kind of laughed because it was a funny word then. It didn't exist at that time. We said, Mark should turn this into a jail blog, because not everybody can listen to what he has to say. So somebody should transcribe it, and we'll post it online as a blog. So I volunteered to do that, and every night, for a number of hours, I would take the recordings of his writings and transcribe them. And through that, I got to learn a huge amount from him. It was very much an education, and I wrote letters to him every night as well. And that's pretty much when we fell in love, truly. And I worked at Cannabis Culture Magazine a few months after he got out of prison in early 2005. I started editing with him. And then in July 2005, the DEA raided the store and arrested Mark, and the whole extradition ordeal began. So after the raid, when he was in jail, he called me up and he said, Jody, I want to move in with you and I want to marry you. So he proposed to me from prison. And I said, of course. And he did move in with me, and we got married on July 23rd, 2006. And we've been married ever since. It's been a wonderful union.
Jody, let's talk about the raid by the Drug Enforcement Administration back in 2004, which has turned your life upside down, potentially landing Mark in a federal prison now for up to 5 years, barring intervention by the Canadian government. This raid was covered by 60 Minutes. The prosecutor that was interviewed by the 60 Minutes reporter a few years back looked into the camera and said, I hope Mark Emery goes away for life. What is the situation with that original prosecutor who was calling for life without parole for your beloved husband, Mark Emery, for selling marijuana seeds through the mail?
The DEA, on the day of Mark's arrest, released a statement, and I'm going to read it aloud to you because it explains why he was targeted and why he was facing such punishment. Today's DEA arrest of Mark Scott Emery, publisher of Cannabis Culture Magazine and the founder of a marijuana legalization group, is a significant blow not only to the marijuana trafficking trade in the U.S. and Canada, but also to the marijuana legalization movement. His marijuana trade and propagandist marijuana magazine have generated nearly $5 million a year in profits that bolstered his trafficking efforts, but those have gone up in smoke today. Emory and his organization had been designated as one of the Attorney General's most wanted international drug trafficking organizational targets, one of only 46 in the world, and the only one from Canada. Hundreds of thousands of dollars of Emory's illicit profits are known to have been channeled to marijuana legalization groups active in the United States and Canada. Drug legalization lobbyists now have one less pot of money to rely on, end quote. That was issued by the administrator at the time of the DEA, and it explains, it doesn't even mention seeds anywhere in there, but it does mention a number of times that he was working towards legalization, and that is true. When Mark started selling marijuana seeds, he did it with the goal to raise money to fund the movement, because in 1994 when he started, there was no legal hemp, there was no legal medical marijuana. He saw that the enemy, the prohibitionists, had endless amounts of money, and our side had none. He decided, because he's a brilliant businessman, to use that money, and his slogan was, plant the seeds of freedom and overgrow the government. So his idea was not only to send marijuana seeds to Americans and people all over the world to grow their own marijuana, but he promised to use the money that they sent to help end prohibition. And he was tremendously successful at it. And that's why they targeted him, as it's clearly put out there. But another note to make is that John McKay, the prosecutor who was in the 60 Minutes piece you were mentioning, who was asking for life in prison, today in the Seattle Times paper, he has a guest editorial calling for the legalization of marijuana.
What?
Are you kidding me?
He's done, in his 5 years, you've seen a huge change. He was actually fired by Alberto Gonzalez, one of the seven who were fired back with that scandal.
Jody, this is unbelievable. Are you, really, this is unbelievable news. This is
absolutely.
There is hope here. There is hope for the future. That dirty creep who made himself out to be the devil, as far as I was concerned, when I was watching him echo those words to the 60 Minutes reporter, has turned from a dirty creep into a rational human being. There is hope, Jody Emery.
Absolutely, and we believe it's because of all the time he had to spend learning about Mark and being told to put him away. I think he saw that that was just too much. I think at that point he said, this is absolutely absurd, and now he's got this excellent editorial. You can find it online. Just go and look up John McKay or the Seattle Times today. And if you want to read the original DEA quote and watch the original 60 Minutes segment along with a lot of other information, you can go to freemark.ca, that's freemarc.ca, or go to cannabisculture.com, and we've got all the information there. And, you know, it's pretty sad that a lot of people say that Mark, by being arrested and taken to the United States at a time of pivotal change, you know, if he has to serve a five-year sentence. If that happens, maybe when he comes out, there'll be so much change in the U.S. that soon every other drug war prisoner can be let go too. You know, we're seeing prohibition crumble in the United States, and we're actually seeing it get worse up here in Canada. But the fact that Mark Emery, who never went to the United States when he sold seeds, who only did it through the mail, who made it his stated goal to overgrow the government, he's actually been successful. When you look at California, where he sent millions of seeds, and where there's an endless variety of cannabis grown from the seeds that he sent, his goal is complete. He said, plant the seeds of freedom and overgrow the government. And now America is making a lot of progress. Of course, there's a lot of horrific things that still go on, and it is a lot worse than Canada is at this time. But to know that the prosecutor who went after him is calling for legalization, to know that California with Prop 19 is going to legalize marijuana, to see this happening, you know, it's terrible to be away from Mark, and he and I are, of course, heartbroken to be apart. But if his imprisonment can lead towards this change, if he can be the seed that's swallowed by the enemy and grows forth to bring freedom, then it's worthwhile. You know, it is horrible, but there's a quote someone said that all men of great will and destiny are forged by the steel bars of their captors. And so if Mark's imprisonment can help bring people's awareness to this drug war and to see that he doesn't even have it very bad compared to so many people who have no support and 20, 30, 40 years in prison for marijuana, if it can bring people's attention to that, then it's worthwhile.
And we're speaking with Jody Emery here right now on the California Marijuana Report. This is the wife of Mark Emery, the Prince of Pot, currently incarcerated in federal lockup in the SeaTac Federal Detention Center, which is a maximum security facility. He is not allowed to go outside for even 30 seconds of sunshine or fresh air. What's the reasoning behind that, Jody? Why? What reasoning do they give to not let a human being go outside for even a minute?
Well, because it's maximum security, they aren't allowed outside. And the reason it is maximum security where he's held right now, then soon after that, he'll be sent to a facility, a low security facility, somewhere else in the United States. Now, unfortunately, because he's Canadian, he doesn't apply for the drug treatment program that gets a year off, and he doesn't apply for a camp where he would be much more free to walk around. So you don't know where he's going to be. There are only a few facilities for foreigners, and that includes California, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Georgia, North Carolina. There's a lot of places he could be sent. And the food is terrible. There's no fresh air. He's a vegetarian, so sometimes you get some rice and peanut butter as your protein replacement, but he's trying to keep his spirits up, and I visit him every weekend. In fact, right now I'm in Seattle. I'm going to be visiting him tomorrow. We'll get through it. I mean, we have to get through it. Everybody gets through whatever adversity is thrown at them. There are people who live in much more horrific circumstances and scenarios than we do, so we're grateful for everything that we do have, and that's what keeps us going. Mark has always had a positive attitude, and I try and keep that with me, too.
Jody Emery, the wife of Mark Emery, the Prince of Pot, thank you so much for joining us this week on the California Marijuana Report.
Well, thank you so much, and California serves as an example for the rest of the world. You've got to vote yes on Prop 19 and free Mark Emery so we can free ourselves.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
The most devastating effect of the war on marijuana is that it is a war on everyday people like you and me. All week, we speak to the doctors, scientists, celebrities, and politicians who make up the professionals fighting for cannabis liberty. But we never forget about the tens of millions who use cannabis, the millions who need medical access to cannabis, and the hundreds of thousands arrested every year for cannabis, and the tens of thousands imprisoned under our marijuana laws. At Normal, We are the Cannabis Consumers Lobby, and we take this opportunity to share the experience of our cannabis community.
Well, we're going to go quite a ways away from where we normally look at our cannabis community. We're going to take an international look at protests that took place in Finland, Helsinki, Finland. We got an email from some Finnish activists who are interested in starting a normal chapter in Finland. That would join our normal chapter in Norway. And we also have some interest in Sweden, so we could just do the whole Scandinavian trifecta there. But I'll explain, because it's not in English, but I will explain what some of the action was happening here. But I think in any language, these kind of protests are a great thing to see. So enjoy this protest from Finland. Oh, that is the video from Helsinki, Finland, and it just warms my heart because I see these people out there. They're so far north that the sun hardly even comes up. It's got to be freezing cold. You can see all the snow out there. And look how many people turn out in Helsinki to openly smoke. They all lit up at 420. I'm a criminal, but who is the victim? That was the question asked by one of the people partaking there in Helsinki. And indeed, it's the same question we ask all around the world. Who are we hurting? Nobody. Legalize it. We're not going to stop smoking marijuana. You're never going to stop us growing marijuana. Legalize it. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
For everyone here at Normal.org and the Normal Foundation, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us once again. We'll be here tomorrow. We won't be here Thursday and Friday. Enjoy your holiday. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.